Hi, it's Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You channel podcast. We are a Whosoever Will channel and a Whosoever Will podcast. Why? Because God is a Whosoever Will God. Regardless of who we are or are not, God died for all. Regardless of our opinions, our feelings, our hatred, our vitriol, our diminishing each other, God is for each and every one of us. He came, gave his life so that we would have life. He came to bless us so that we would be a blessing to others. I don't know about you, but I prefer to be a whosoever will person rather than a whatever you will person. Anyway, that being said, I am excited, as always, about talking about the Word of God with you. I hope that something, even just one thing in anything that I have said in the course of doing these podcasts, now I think I'm close to 90 of them, that you have gleaned something that can help you in your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter how many people you know. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter where you live, what you drive, if you have transportation. It doesn't matter your state in life. Every one of us has the opportunity to know God for ourselves. And the interesting thing about that is that none of us can know him for each other. We can love one another, or we're supposed to love one another. Why? Because God is love. But I cannot love God for you. You cannot live on somebody else's faith. You cannot live on somebody else's opinions. You cannot live on somebody else's teaching. You have to find out for yourself. So this thing that we call life is really not life. It's the process that we go through to get to life. The process we are living with the hope of getting eternal life. Every one of us goes through a process. Every one of us has the opportunity to make the choices. And regardless of how many podcasts I do or don't do, how much writing I do or don't do, I have to do what I know the Lord has called me to. But each and every one of us has to give an account. Each and every one of us. So we're going to hop right into talking today. We being all of us, I'm going to be doing the talking because I'm the only one here right now. But hopefully you're listening and you can share in the comments respectfully. Your thoughts, your questions, I'm happy to answer as many as I can. I cannot promise. I'm not going to commit to answering them all because if you know me, you know that I try not to commit to things that I cannot do. So I will do what I can, and you're welcome to share. But we're going to talk today about how the head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. The head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. Now, Lord, when the Lord told me this title, like I guess it was a day or so ago, if that, I was like, oh, that's going to be good. I know where he's going, but I have no idea what I'm going to say. I believe that the starting point, however, it has something to do with the scripture, nowhere to lay his head. And we all pretty much know that. So you've got to remember that when Jesus came, we're hopping right into it. So there's no segue. I'm already in it. When Jesus came, there was no room in the inn. So for whatever reason, and that was a foretelling of something. See, we think of it as something other than what it actually is. Everything, the spirit of Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. So wherever Christ is, prophecy is either, not, I don't want to say either, it's not an either. Prophecy is being made and fulfilled simultaneously. Prophecy is being made and fulfilled simultaneously. So when Jesus speaks, he's speaking into the situation prophetically while fulfilling something at the same time. Now that he's gone to the cross, dead, died, buried, resurrected, the prophecy is fulfilled. The law is fulfilled. But when he speaks to us, he still speaks prophetically. Why? Because we are still in a situation where we have not realized the fullness of him in us. So when he says, Lazarus, come forth, that was both prophetic for us, and he's speaking to into the present situation to actually bring life to that which was dead. Who, Lord? So, let me go to the scripture real quick. No, I didn't pull it up because I didn't know I was going to go to it. So if you're sitting there asking that question, no, I don't have it pulled up. I'm going to pull it up right here now with you. And we're going to talk about this scripture. So the first thing, I'm not going to pull up the one about, we all know that when Mary was about to give birth, there was no room for her in the inn. Okay? Later on in Jesus' life, after he, when he's coming upon the time or near the time when he would be crucified, he says he has no place to lay his head. And of course, we being the disciples that we are, of course, at that in that respect, and this is how we look at it. This is funny, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating. We always look at the disciples as they. No, they were the first us, right? We do the same thing with Jesus today that they did with him, like they had him physically there. And they were doing the same thing we do. It is not whether or not Christ is present. He is. He's everywhere at the same time. It's not whether or not he's present. That's not the question we should be asking. Are we ready and prepared and preparing the way for his presence? See, we always want to look at the other. We always want to point to something or someone else as the reason why we don't do what we're supposed to do. But that's, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Why? Whatsoever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. The Lord is like, okay, you can do what you want, but I've already told you what you need to do and how to do it, and I gave my life and my spirit so that you could do it. So there's nothing you can say to me. You are without excuse because I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So, yes, you can have your opinions. You can make your choices. At the end of the day, this is still how it goes. Right? So they're standing there with him watching it all. We say, well, if I had seen, no, because they're standing there watching, and they still don't believe. So Jesus said he had nowhere to lay his head. So remember, the title of this segment is the head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. I am not a whore, and I have never been. I have never been. Before I was saved, after I was saved, when I backslid, whatever, never been a person. Who likes to watch anything with any too much action or gory stuff or anything like that. I know people that love that kind of stuff, and more power to you. No judgment from me. We just won't be able to sit in the same movie theater. Because by the time I deal with my things during the day, work, you know, whatever it might be, I'm ready to chill. I don't need additional angst. So that's just me. But when you think about the body, he says we're members of the same body. We're members of the same body. But the picture that I get when he said to me about this message was one of those pictures that I really don't want to see, which was a head that was sitting, not in awe, because Christ is not in awe. He already knew. He's not in awe, but just sitting and waiting. And all of the members of the body were just running around. Like you got eyes trying to be feet and you got ears trying to be fingers and just running around all over the place. Members of the same body. The body, the head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. So Jesus tells us he didn't have any place to lay his head. So the disciples are making the disciples are making preparations. What do you mean the Lord doesn't have anywhere to sleep? Right? That's where we are. That's where we as human beings are. We think in the natural. We think the most obvious thing, when in fact the most obvious thing does not require faith. It might require some action. It might require some decisions to be made, but it does not require faith. If I know there is a bed somewhere, then that doesn't require faith. It just requires action on my part to go find it. If I already have something, I don't need faith for it. And if I'm asking for it, then I must ask in faith. But if I ask in faith, it must also be by love. So even if I'm asking, if it's not in love, then it's also not in faith. Some of you are wondering right now why your prayers aren't getting answered. I just told you why. Faith works how? By love. So if your ultimate motivation is not love, then your faith doesn't work. Your faith is out of order, out of service, in need of repair. Forgive us as, everything is conditional. But we don't think about that because the human experience dictates something different, and we have not yet embraced the fact that we are not here for what we see. What we cannot see is manifesting what we do see. The question is, what is happening once we see it? We are driven by our senses, sensual. We're sensual in nature, and God intended that. So please don't think that you have senses by accident. He said, no, I'm giving you senses. I'm giving you free choice. I'm giving you everything you need to survive in this atmosphere. What I'm saying to you is that they can't govern you, or they shouldn't govern you. Yes, I gave you emotions, but you shouldn't be governed by emotions. Why? Because you should be governed by my spirit. Why does he say the law of love? Because he's telling us that what the Ten Commandments, the ten categories of commandments, means is that if I have to list all of these things out, that what I am trying to accomplish, this is the Lord speaking, what I am trying to accomplish and get you to see is that the highest law that exists is love. Why? Because when we exist in that place, we will not do the things to ourselves or to others that diminish our existence. But rather we will edify one another, edify ourselves, bless one another, bless ourselves, bless God, create life, be vessels for life, not create it, be vessels for life, be blessed to be a blessing. He's saying, I have to tell you all of this. Okay, no problem. But at the end of the day, I've given you everything you need to accomplish this. The question is, do you think you know better than I do? I am the giver of life, saith the Lord. I am the giver of life. So you're saying that you're living your best life, but you don't even know what your best life is. So how can you live it apart from me? We get caught up in the externals. What does that look like? What church should I go to? Who should I associate with? What people should I hang out with? What is my faith? What is my worship? What is my chosen? So we get hung up there, and that's totally understandable. But the Lord says at the end of the day, it's me and you. At the end of the day, I'm the head of the body, not just your body. I'm the head of the body of believers that is supposed to function as a body. If you have if you stub your toe, wow. Right? We all know what it feels like. You can probably feel it resonate in your body just by me saying it. And so what we have right now is we have members, number one, that are disconnected from the head. The head is still connected and invested in the body, but the body is not connected and invested in the head. That is individually. Why? Because it takes the individuality of the believer, of the member, to come together with the head in order for the head to put it in its proper place. Go to the Lord and tell him, we do this all the time, all of us, so don't point fingers, don't look over your shoulder, none of that. Start with you. Lord, I, you might have made me to be an elbow, but I really like the thumb position. Right? So not only do we want to tell God in some ways that he doesn't exist, that we don't trust him, that we don't believe him, we also want to tell him what to do. Mind you, we haven't gotten to the part where we've repented in obedience to God yet, but we want to tell him what we want and what we want to do. The things that he has given us, he did not give us for us to use in the way that we see fit. He gave them, think of yourself as a suitcase, right, as luggage. Even if you're just taking a day trip and you take a little picnic basket or you take a little, you have in your possession some things that you might need throughout the day. Think of yourself as a little package that God packed, a piece of luggage or something that God packed and sent to heaven so that when you received Holy Spirit could unpack you in the way that God intended, and your purpose would be served in the earth, in collaboration, co-labor with the Lord by the Spirit. So we get the package, we see the package, and everything in our society screams, you've got this, you've got that. They're coveting, everything Ten Commandments says don't do, we're doing. Right? Do not covet. Do not covet. Do not be envious. Do not be jealous. Why? Because everybody's got their thing. The Lord says, nope. The reason you're jealous is because you don't really understand what I gave you. And the fact that your attention is over there means you're not trusting me. The head is still very much invested in the body. The head gave his life for the body. There's no way for him to divest himself of that. If he didn't want to do it, he wouldn't have done it. He had free choice too. But what we've done is we are governed, and I'm not talking about government. I'm not talking about politics, by the way. Okay? Politics is idolatry. Yes, we have free choice, and we need to have systems of government. But a lot of times, we get so caught up as believers, we want to believe the news over believing the Bible. Why? Because we think we can control something. Or we want to know what's happening down here, and the Lord is like, okay, you're looking in the wrong places. So we have levels of influence here that do not align with God. He keeps telling us, guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it will flow the issues of life. He's told us everything for every circumstance and every situation. We want to cry, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, but he's saying, I need you to obey me, obey me, obey me. The deliverance is embedded in your obedience. The head is very much invested in the body. The body, however, is not attached to the head. And so where are you in all of this? Have you repented today? And this is a judgment-free zone. My job is just to challenge and to ask the question. The answer is between you and the Lord. Because I can't help you want God. I can tell you that he loves you. I can tell you what he's done for you. I can tell you what he's done for me. But until you, Peter, what do you say? What do they say versus what do you say? He did that on purpose. Yeah, Peter, I hear you. You're telling me about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is saying. But I need to know. Here is where the rock of revelation is built. The rock of revelation is built on what you say. He didn't mean just Peter. He meant that I will not reveal myself until you will not have revelation of me until you choose to believe. That's the rock of revelation, is faith, is me believing God. then the revelation takes place. God is not a, look, I'll show it to you, and then maybe you'll believe. That's not his game. That's the game we play. In fact, Jesus is reflected or represented as having left places where there was no, he's like, if you don't believe, I don't need to do a miracle, because you wouldn't believe that either. We are of a generation that says, if you see it, then you believe it. That's not faith. It doesn't require faith. That's not love. It doesn't require love. That is carnality. That is the flesh ruling you, ruling me when it happens. The end of that life is death, certain death. We're all going to transition. Let's face it. We're all going to transition. But the body stays. The question we should ask is, what happens in the transition? Where are we going? Who's going where? Where are we going? Do you know what determines that? What you do here? The decisions you make here? What you think here? Jesus said, you look at the outward. I look at the inward. So he already knows. He's waiting for us to get honest about who we are and what we want. From him, with him, by him, because of him, through him. Everybody says we want love, but we're not willing to love. We're expecting to be loved first. Is that the order? Yes. Why? How do we know? Because Jesus, we love, we have love. We are able to comprehend it on some level, love agape. We're able to comprehend it on some level. Why? Because Jesus loved first. He gave us himself. God is love. So when God gave us himself, he gave us love. He gave first. That's how we know. You follow the model of Jesus. Y'all remember, what would Jesus do? I used to say, what did he do? Not what would he do, what did he do? We can come up with the cute sayings and the memorization of scripture. Where we have the problem is actually living the scripture. Living in the New Testament, living in an overcoming spirit by the power of Holy Spirit, making sure that we are humbled and submitted before him so that he will exalt us, not us exalting ourselves. The head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. Every single thing. I'm not going to say want. Want is a bonus. Want is a cherry on top. Every single thing. He says, I provide for you according to my riches and glory. All your need. At a minimum, everyone should have what they need. And I don't know about you, but I've gotten some of the things I want. And let me clarify that. I don't mean going to God with a list and saying, this is what I want for Christmas. I'm talking about some of the things that extend beyond what I know I needed into want. Because after you start obeying God, you begin to want what he wants for you. We'll talk about that on another segment. And he will show you things and give you things, and it will bring you to tears because it's something that you didn't know you wanted. I don't go to God with lists. He'll ask me questions. If he asks me a question, of course I'm going to answer the best way I can. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to talk right now. And that's true. And that's honest. And that's authentic. With some of you need to learn how to be with God. If you can't be honest and authentic with the person you say knows everything, then what do you think that's going to look like? We get so used to hiding behind the masks and the foolishness of this world that we can't even be honest with God, who we say knows everything, which means we don't believe he knows everything, because that's what he's holding us accountable for. Then we want to blame it on God because we don't know what we're supposed to do. Well, you could know. He's invited us into this beautiful place with him. And we still don't want it. we still reject it over what we can see with the natural eye. That's why he says, he who has eyes to see and ears to hear. He's not talking about the people that aren't blind, deaf, and dumb in the natural. He's talking about in the spirit. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So when he's talking to us, he's talking to the thing that wants to override the prophecy. And at this, he's prophesying and fulfilling prophecy at the same time. Michelle, you're going to do X, Y, Z. Okay, yeah, right, Lord. Why? Because we can't see it. There, I don't have the spiritual eyes to see at that moment. However, if I say, be it unto me according to your word, Lord, guess what? My eyes will become open. The head is still attached to the body, but the body is not attached to the head. You know what repentance does? Repentance is spiritual. I don't want to say surgery. I don't know if it's that deep. But repentance is the process that reattaches the members of the body to the head by the Spirit. What do we need to be led of the Spirit for if we all running around like crazy people? He wants members be members of one body, be a supplying joint, not an arthritic joint. Keep the flow going in my body. So when Jesus was here physically, he's still here physically. I'm just watch what I'm doing. Walk with me on this. When he was here, one person physically, it was just him. One person. One body. One person. One body, all the members attached. He had his head, his own head, his arms, his leg. He was fully formed. Feet, right? All the body parts. Now he's saying, because of what I have accomplished in the spirit, I need me to come together through you, still one body, just many members. I don't know which part I am. You don't know which part you are. But we need, that's why we talk about unity, because Jesus should still be walking just in many bodies, not just one physical body. Think about it like this. When you go, one of the things I've loved all my life, you all have heard me say this before, I'm a musician, I'm a vocalist, I have been all my life. I grew up with music. I love music. It's just been in me. It still is in me. And one of the there's many things I love about music, but one of them is marching bands. I have always just been absolutely fascinated by marching bands. Can't play a lick, but I love to watch and listen to marching bands, particularly the horn section and the percussion, which is mostly what they are. But if you are sitting at the right place in a stadium, or if you're watching on television and you have the right camera person, they move as one body. You don't see separate band members. You know that there are separate band members playing separate instruments, but they move and sound like one, even though the sounds are not the same. So when he shows me this, that's what I see. Over the whole earth, you have this group of people that are walking in unity, even though they're in different places with unique purposes. So there's, I'm going to say, 90 to 95%, or 80 to 85% of us is similar as human beings. The 15 to 20% is where we're unique or different. We want to focus on the 15 to 20%, the smaller percentage, and that's what we keep splitting to make us more and more different. And the Lord is calling all of us liars, because that's not how he created us. He said, I created you mostly the same, but I gave you enough, each of you enough, to be unique and to be who you are, to give you a fingerprint and a footprint that is uniquely yours. But when you come together and you believe in me and on me, and through me, then what I do is I cause even your differences to come together to make one flow, one movement. So he still should be in one body by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, who was poured out, by the way, some 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, is the Spirit, same Spirit leading all of us. So if we're running around like members that don't have a head, it's because we're not led. When we step away from the head, we're not led, because Holy Spirit will never lead us to do that. Ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever. So he's still one body. He said to his disciples, I have nowhere, nowhere, I think in some translations, nowhere to lay my head. He was speaking prophetically, but also speaking into the situation. And sometimes I'm sure he's still saying, I have nowhere to lay my head. All my members are just living their best lives. But we keep saying he's the bridegroom, he's coming back for a bride without a spot or wrinkle, all the stuff we say. He ain't coming back for no mess. So if you can say out of your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom who's coming back for a bride without a spot or wrinkle, we better be going to the cleaners. We better be getting some whatever to clean up the dress. We better have our lamps alight. This is not 90 Day Fiancé. This is, well, some of those other shows. Right? I don't know. I don't know. No, by the way, I don't watch it. But understand, this is long-term, eternal commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The head is still attached. He's a faithful husband. He's a faithful God. Ask Hosea, the man who had to be faithful to an unfaithful woman. Oh, Lord. And many of us have gone through situations, circumstances, relationships, in our own, just in our own selves, just stuff. But God is always faithful. Even when we deny him, he's faithful. So I need you to remember today, not me, I want you to remember too, that none should perish. I want you to remember too. God is always for you. He's always been for you. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have given his life, that we would have life. And then send Holy Spirit to say, okay, now we need you to make, you know, kind of bring everybody together. But we have to agree to that. So if you're not willing to do the work of the walk, right? Faith walk is not a cakewalk. If you're not willing to do the work of the walk, then just be quiet about it. But you can't blame God for it. He's already told you, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's everything. I'm going to supply all you need according to my riches and glory. That's everything. Like, we know what all of that is. Do you know how much that is? And we still walk around talking about we don't have enough. Lord help. That is a carnal mindset given to us by people that do not believe God. When we bless, pivot out of cursing into blessing. When we bless, blessing brings life. Blessing puts life in and brings life out. Cursing puts death in and brings death out. The Lord is saying and has been saying, pivot, springboard, do whatever you have to do out of cursing into blessing. It's time for life to flow again. Psalms say, revive us again, O Lord. We're at that place of being where it is necessary for us to call out to the Lord, revive us again. And when we say that with our repentant hearts before him. It will be so. Yes, amen and amen. We agree as touching, not I have to touch you, as touching. There is no time and distance in the spirit. So as touching doesn't mean I have to be in the same room with you. Doesn't mean we have to say it at the same time. We agree in the spirit, and the Lord collects that and makes us agree because we agreed with him as touching. And let all who believe say yes, amen, and amen again. I'm glad you could join me here today. I agape you. Please like, share, get your notifications, subscribe, do all of those things that really helps with whatever algorithms are in effect today or any time they seem to change quite frequently. But if you could do that for me, I greatly appreciate it. I love you. I appreciate you. I agape you. I bless you and the entirety of your household. I will see you next time on Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit U Channel podcast. Bye-bye.